My name's Dave, aka Professor. I play the drums.
My name's Haley, aka Lady Arsenic, and I do vocals and keys.
And I'm James, aka Ripper, and I play lead guitar.
Andrew, the Butcher McComas, I'm a bassist, and I do backing vocals.
I'm Blue, aka Plague, and I'm rhythm guitar.
Okay, so just starting off with like a little bit of background for the people that know the band. How do you guys got together? How do you guys pick your name and stuff like that?
Well, Arsenic Addiction started out in like 2006. We've had many changes in lineup and sound.
Basically,
since.
Starting a band, trying to find the right members.
So we've been around for a long time. This lineup's pretty much only been around for, what, almost a year and a half now, 2 years?
Getting on 2 years, I think.
Dave's
been with us for about
six months.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we have a hard time keeping drummers in this band, but I think he's a keeper.
I don't plan on going anywhere, so.
Dedication is a hard thing to find in a band nowadays. Most
yes.
people just want to play one good song and call it quits, and they're good.
But James and I met through school, and... You know, when you're younger and you're transitioning from, you know, from elementary to middle school, you know, from the Backstreet Boys and Spice Girls and Britney Spears.
Figuring out what you really like other than just the crap they play on the radio.
And I have been in a band before this together, and ultimately we wanted to go in heavier direction, so we kind of left our other band and started Arsenic Addiction.
And for influences, where do you guys started looking to decide kind of shape what you wanted to play?
We honestly kind of, all of us have different genres of music that we kind of like. I mean, it's all in the same kind of ballpark for the most part, but we kind of fell into it. I mean, like, Andrew's more of a death metal kind of guy, and Dave the same thing, and, you know, I'm more of an 80s butt rocker, and give me some Guns N' Roses, I'm a happy guy. But these guys have a list of bands they can give you. And it honestly just kind of came together, and we just kind of formulate what we want. So it wasn't necessarily picked out any certain genre.
As I said, with our members and so many different influences, our sound has changed so much over the year, even from the Requiem of the Fallen that you reviewed. It's, even though it was a year ago, we're totally different now, and just since Dave has joined, and finally that we have a permanent lineup, we're all, for the first time, I think we got to decide what direction we wanted to go in. And so I would say mostly what influences us is, yeah, of course, all the great metal gods, and believe it or not, Broadway. Like,
yes.
We're huge into stories. And
is this Disney. All tied out with like the
Disney and Disney?
We do love Disney.
Is this all tied down with the concept that you guys have, since everybody has names, and I mean, in your promo pictures, you have a particular look and everything?
Yes.
And how do you craft that, and what does it represent for people that haven't heard much from the band?
I feel like I talk a lot. I always do.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Andrew.
You know, we started taking the music in kind of a darker direction, and we thought we should do something that reflected that a little bit. You know, kind of a state of mourning, but also very classy, you know, and, you know, for me at least, also very violent, you know. Everybody has their own, I mean, we kind of have our alter egos, you know, and that's an extension of ourselves. So it's hard to say what it represents, because it is different for all of us individually, so.
And we also, for every photo shoot that we did, like you saw Requiem of the Fallen, we're all in mourning attire. I mean, that was a very much, you know, funeral-esque. We love funeral and, like, church statuesque music that sounds so big, much bigger than the people playing it. Makes you feel that big, you know. And a lot of bands nowadays, they don't embrace personas a lot. I mean, of course, you have your black metal bands that have corpse paint and everything, but, you know, there's a lot of bands and stuff that will dress up for a photo, like, in this moment and stuff like that, and then you see them live and she's wearing her tour shirt, you know, and a lot of the theatrics are gone because they're hard to do. And honestly, like, you have to be like, oh crap, where's my outfit, you know, oh crap, you know, like, that's, what else can we do that will be cool to check out on stage that is just fun to do? And we all are really theatrical people and really dig doing that and dressing up in photos and stuff. We decided, you know what, we like doing it for photos, so why don't we just bring it out on stage too.
And does it get in the way of you guys performing on stage? Because I met other bands that they say, oh, it sucks, I'm not going to dress like that on stage because it's just a pain in the ass.
I honestly, I don't think so. It's definitely something you have to get used to. I mean, you go from jeans and a t-shirt, you know, to heels and a dress, and you're all wobbly on stage for a little while. But yeah, in my opinion, it's worth it, because as he said, I mean, when do you get to be that bigger extension of yourself that's not socially acceptable except for on stage, you know? You're allowed to be Butcher, Plague, and the Professor, and Ripper, and nobody questions you, you know, because you're on the stage. But if you were to walk down the street and dress the way we do, or be that alter ego, it's not really socially acceptable, as I'm saying, so... So that's where the Broadway influence comes in with the show, and like I said, we all have stories. So.
And do you feel that whenever you get off stage, you still take some of that persona? Because a lot of other bands, they have their stage persona, but it's just that. And whenever you meet them off the stage, they're just completely random people that don't
that don't make any sense with their persona.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, ultimately, why would you act a certain way if you're not at least in some small part? I mean, your persona should be, and is for us, an extension of ourselves, and that's, you know, we hope that comes through in some small way. I mean, there's no reason to do it if you don't want to. So
I would say yes. I don't think that, you know, the black metal bands get off stage and continue to talk like this, you know, as they
let's go to church.
They did that.
I mean, it's just, like I said, on stage is part of being a bigger part of who you are, but it is part of who you are. I get off stage as Lady Arsenic and still love tea and blood and gore and cathedral-esque things and gothic-inspired things every bit as much as I do on stage, so...
Yeah, I mean, the reason that this question was kind of geared toward is that asking if it was a gimmick or not, since a lot of bands, like I said, kind of like a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that makes you, since the band scene in the U.S. or in the world pretty much is so crowded, what do you think that gives you the edge over other bands?
Well, in addition to the great sounding music,
we rather enjoy it.
Yes, you have something to watch. You know, there's stuff going on stage, you know, which you'll see tonight, you know, if you're going to stick around for the show. There's stuff happening, there's theatrics going on, so, you know, in addition to the good music, you have something to watch as well.
I mean, we're not the first ones to pull theatrics, definitely not. I mean, I think Alice Cooper is the most well-known in the metal world. But what separates us, I think, from other bands is it's not that we're the first to do it, but people just don't do it anymore.
Especially locals. I mean, if locals are like, oh, we don't have the budget for that, you know, and to be honest, neither do we. You just kind of...
You just make it happen with old clothes or things you find at the DI, or, you know, you get on the internet and Google everything you can and compare prices. I mean, it's a lot of effort, but honestly, like I said, I don't think we're the first to do it, but we're one of the last ones still doing it. And so I think that's what separates us.
And an excellent combination of clean and extreme vocals that you do, that you really don't hear, you know, done well a whole lot these days. And
I mean, and that's a matter of opinion. You know. I think, like, you know, Kitty does it really well.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, my thing with that is, like...
I think you do it better.
My opinion on that is, like, you know, like you said, most people think women, the front woman in metal is a gimmick, and I think with some bands that truly is the case. But, like with Katie, they're all women, and I honestly feel that they get less discrimination because they're all women. You know, they're like, oh, you're in a chick band, it's cool, whatever. And that's just acceptable. But when you're the only female... If you play bass or something in the background, you're hardly noticed. But once you step into the limelight of vocals, it's all of a sudden like, so what's it like to be a woman in metal? You know, is it a gimmick? Is it not? You know, do you show a little leg on stage? Yes, I do. You know, so I mean, but my my thing about that is, what's a gimmick to me with women in metal these days is they're trying to keep up with the boys so much that they won't do theatrics like this anymore, because if they feel if they put on the heels and the dress that Now they're less brutal. Now they're going to be taken less seriously. Now it's a gimmick. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which, to me, the gimmick is, like, the wife beater and the beer and the screaming in people's faces because they're sweet as hell and they get off stage. You know, you're like, you're such a nice gal and you're going to rip my face off a minute ago. You know, so.
Yeah, honestly, the true trend nowadays is being in a band. It's not necessarily, oh, you're a chick in a band? You know, it's more like, oh, you play in a band?
Everybody plays in a band.
Thank you, Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, now with MySpace and all that, yeah, apparently everybody plays in a band with so many bands out there.
And that's what makes it so hard, too. I mean, we've talked about this a few times with people. Is MySpace, I mean, it is a blessing that you can be from Salt Lake and you can get connections now that you couldn't get before, being able to contact people. But, I mean, especially because of the economy, record labels aren't looking for people, but they're also not really going to find them on the internet because there's so many bands that start a band for a week. And then they're like, yeah, we wrote a song. Oh, you know what? It's not going to work out. And then instead of deleting their MySpace, they put Rest in Peace next to their name. So, you know, there might be a really good band out there that might want a name like that, but they can't have it because there's three bands that have it, and they've done every weird little thing at the end of their name to have it. And record labels will go looking through, not even record labels, just anyone who wants to find cool music, you know, will find a band that they like their music maybe, but they've been gone for 3 years and they just won't get off.
Truly, it's the best and worst tool for music nowadays is the internet. It either is your best friend or just creates your page into a graveyard of, you know, underneath all these other pages that just no longer exist. Like, a lot of people will be like, I've heard your music and I went to go look for you and I can't find you. You're like, really? Oh.
So picking names and stuff like that makes it more interesting to see the names that come out nowadays.
Yeah, no, because I interviewed Threat Signal and they said that the way they pick their name is they just Google random words until one of them didn't return anything.
That's how they pick their name. They returned a dictionary explanation.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, like you say, yeah, the names are kind of running out now.
Try to be creative. I mean, we got our name, like I said, in 2006, and there was a month later another Arsenic Addiction, and I think they actually had it before we did, but they were like a punk, I don't know, something totally opposite of us. And that was one of those bands that was a band for months and then went away. And so it was like, okay, but now we can't have that URL because they took it, MySpace won't delete it, and there's an Arsenic Addiction Photography, and I mean, you think you're creative, and then you go and you Google it, and you're all,
holy crap, there's like 6 billion people on this planet, all who think kind of like we do.
I want to be the Beatles. What do you mean that name's taken?
How about the Monkees, then?
I think that's bad.
Yeah. I know.
The Monkey Beatles.
And a little bit on the topic of labels, have you guys gotten any interest from the last EP that you guys released?
Not interest directly from the label, but from people connected with labels. In Salt Lake, we played something called the Slave to the Metal Show. And it's something that the promoter, I don't remember the company.
I think it was 72 Productions or something along those lines.
No, that's in Idaho. That's not.
It was like 220.
Oh, 220 Productions.
220.
Well, I don't know. But this production company that is associated with Metal Blade, I don't know if Metal Blade's looking or if they're just trying to see what's out there, decided that they were going to put on a show that you had to be invited to play.
Hmm.
Luckily enough, we were invited. And so Mistress Julia, Fuse TV, and Uranium came down and hosted the whole show. And a representative from the production company putting it on. And they came and you gave them your press package. You played for them. They, of course, took down count of your ticket sales because that's what that's what record labels want to see.
That's what it's all about.
And then took notes as you played. I'd love to see those notes.
Yeah, I would kill to see those notes.
Took notes as you played, and then they send the whole package into Metal Blade. And so pretty much you have no idea because we just played the show like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
it was actually last week.
Last week.
Last weekend. Oh, we did it.
Okay, last week. So you have no idea, I mean, whether they're interested or not. I mean, they could be right now, and maybe they're just waiting to contact us, or they couldn't be at all, and they'll never contact us. But we've had opportunities, for sure, and that was our first really big one, though, because Metal Blade, everyone's all, Metal Blade!
You'd like your mother to get on Metal Blade. No, we've had just like little labels that are looking to kind of get their own start going, and you know, much respected and stuff like that. You just kind of try to work as hard as you can to prove to the boss, you know, you want to get hired by a label pretty much. Yeah. Prove that you're a good worker. Here's your resume.
Well, you know, how hard can you work without getting anything back, you know? That's a real test, like, as to your dedication to and love to the music. So if you don't care about the music, then you just go play pop, you know. You get picked up immediately. But if you're shooting for something a little more substantial, in my opinion,
that's
substantial,
always underground.
Yeah. Then you're gonna have to work your ass off, and you're gonna have to do it forever. And still, people still may not care.
But we're gonna do it because we love it, and it makes us feel good. So
yeah, and we enjoy performing too. I mean, it's just so much fun.
So have you guys went the way of sending a bunch of promos and all that stuff, or you try to different approach?
We actually, the thing with Requiem of the Fallen is, and the reason why we got recognition for mainly reviews and stuff like that, and it's carried us a long way for how much time we took off. We had to take off 5 months to find a good solid member. We were sick of hired drummers, you know, and it's so easy to get one nowadays, but they just don't care. They don't want to do anything. We wanted a fifth member, so Requiem of the Fallen, the CD release date, the drummer who recorded it, was actually his last show was the release. So right after that we took on a drummer for hire pretty much, and it doesn't end up working out too well. So we got Dave, and he joined us. We got him like about a month after he auditioned, and then took a good 4 months to just really hang out and make sure it was working well. So we're just now getting press packages out and ready to go, and got new photos done. I mean, we're a firm believer, you don't send out, you know, something you don't have, which is a band. You know, if you don't have a drummer, you don't send out your crap being like, sign us, and we'll just hire some dude who really digs it. So, you know?
What you see is what you get, you know. You can't say, and we're missing three members. But this is what we have.
This is what we did want.
I mean, maybe that's part of our problem. I mean, what I've noticed with a lot of bands now are, I don't want to say successful, but getting up there, more successful than we are, that way. Generally, everything they say or do is not 100% true. And it's like, you know, you go and look at whatever they're doing, and, like, they'll be missing a member, but, like we said, sending out those press packages and making them seem like they're, or better example is our old drummer could make your website or your MySpace or whatever on the internet look totally legit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a store or, so if you went to look at it, you're like, wow, these people
you
are
could have
professional.
Never played a show in your life, and you could look like you've been on Ozfest.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome, but unfortunately we don't want to present something that's untrue, and so it's like I said with the unstable member thing, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to send out press packages, we just recorded, this is awesome, and our drummer quit, again.
Just kind of caught in limbo for that time, you know? There's no forward motion isn't really possible when you don't have all the wheels spinning, you know?
Yeah,
so
that.
Even though we've been around since 2006, I honestly feel for the past 6 months we've been doing more than we have since 2006, and also when you're in high school you're going off dreams more than hard work, so you get out of high school and you're all, what, I have to do something? Oh.
I'm in a band, but I like pizza.
Shit, gas money.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And for example, you guys are from Salt Lake City, a town that's, well, it's a city and state that's fairly known for being Mormon and having weird rules about all kinds of stuff.
Like they're drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need two people to order one pitcher and weird stuff like that.
You know, the thing that's funny is a lot of people, I mean, we got asked it last night because in Butte, we were on the radio and they asked us, you guys Mormon and stuff? And we're like, I mean, come on, you're Shanghai'd in when you're 8. I mean,
you don't know better.
I mean, you grow up, all your friends are Mormon, and you're still listening to Britney Spears because that's all the radio plays, and you don't know the world yet. So you kind of hear it, and, you know, we're all raised LDS and everything, and then, I mean, I think once you hit 12 and you realize that you have your own mind kind of cooking, and you're like, I like pizza, you know. You make your decision.
I don't want to worship God.
I don't want to worship God.
I like pizza. Taco Bell.
You kind of pick out what you know what you like and everything. And it's not as bad as of a scene out there as people make it out to be. It's actually,
well,
it is kind of bad.
Okay, the Mormons aren't the bad part. Like, honestly, I would say dominantly now, the Mormon religion is kind of, it's still 50%, but not compared to the 80% that it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's 50% Mormons and the rest of us are just all, well, shrug, you know? And so, it's actually not, the Mormons don't, if, as long as you don't screw with them, they don't really care.
Yeah,
you get the weird glances, of course they don't want to, you know, to go to your shows, but they're not going to be out there protesting, you know, being like, this is Satan.
The only thing that's really hard is they don't allow, I mean, here, like here in Montana, you see, you know, fathers with their kids walk into a bar and play a game of pool with them. There, I mean, you step on the property and they're about ready to trank you and drag you away.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
a lot of law.
21 and they're like, get the hell out.
Yeah, you got to get out of here. And the bar owners, they want to let you in. It's just, you know, like down, like in Salt Lake where we live, you know, northern Salt Lake is pretty much owned by the LDS Church. So you gotta kind of follow their rules, and they're a little more strict on it. So, but I've never really been segregated against too much or looked down upon.
I would say the biggest segregation from the LDS Church, honestly, is when it comes to playing shows, it's either 21 and older or all ages. Which sounds simple, but unfortunately, if you have to sell a lot of tickets to a show, it's like, and it's 21 and over, you're all, okay, I can't use all this fan base that I have over here because they're not old enough now. And there's honestly, because of the LDS Church and the scene there, there's not a lot of good all-age venues. Like, there's just not. Like, we hardly play all-age shows because of it. I mean, if it's an all-age venue, there's like one or two of them, and it's dominated by the Christian rock, pretty much, or
hardcore.
Or straight
yeah,
edge.
Because they won't play a bar. And, you know, and when you go there, I mean, it's cool that they're doing their own thing, but, man, they'll kick the shit out of you if they don't like your music, you know.
Yeah.
We're metalheads. We don't want
to
fight.
So it's kind of scary to play all age shows there because of that segregation. You know, like I said, all the straight edgers and the hardcore Christian kids don't want to play the bar, so you go play an all age show, and you're walking on eggshells around him, being like, I'm pagan and I drink. Don't hurt me.
I had a big steak before I got here. You got like 8 kids there to see you, you know, and they're stoked. And the problem is there's like 30 huge dudes being like, what? Like, how dare you smoke? How dare you drink? What are you doing here?
And then they go home and smoke and drink.
it's like, I don't know, some of these hardcore kids, it's like they're so frustrated because they can't smoke and drink that they just have to hit people. How dare you?
I'm
so angry.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole Christian thing is pretty wild to see a bunch of hardcore kids pray at a show. I don't know when that came into play to be like, I'm not going to say too much just in case any of them listen to this and come find me at work or something. I don't know when it came out and being like, oh no, dude, I think Jesus would hardcore dance to our music more than anyone else. When he comes back, he's going to wear our t-shirt.
He's going to beat the shit out of those sinners just like us.
And enough said, because the hits are starting.
So, like I said, that would be the hardest thing is especially the LDS kids attached to the straight edge music, because they're like, oh, it goes along with our beliefs. You know, we don't drink, we don't smoke, abstinence. And I don't know why a lot of the times, like, veganism or vegetarianism is attached to that as well. But so you get the most extreme people. It's either 21 and over, and they're drunk, and they're, you know, God-hating or whatever you want to call it. And then at the same time, then there's the Christian straight-edge vegan hardcore.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing about Salt Lake. It's polar opposites when it comes to scenes. I mean, entirely.
Just as an afterthought to flesh out the whole, like, religious, you know, thing. Really the most annoying thing about the religious, you know, dilemma in Utah is they have their hands in politics. And so really the problem is that they make weird laws. Right, like you have to have 2 people to get a pitcher of beer, you know, like, it's weird, is all.
Yeah.
It's a little getting used to. It's not as offensive as you might think, but it is weird.
If you want to go see a movie on a Saturday, you better go before 8:30.
Yeah.
They close down early because they got to prep for Sunday.